Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, sitting here watching morning sports on the Olympics. Let's see, on the left TV, we've got archery.
Mm-hmm.
On the middle, we have table tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have regular tennis on the right.
It's like table tennis, only you stand on the table.
On the table. And you know, with Djokovic and Serena Williams beaten, there's not much.
Yeah, it's pretty wide open. We don't know who's going to win now.
Yeah. These table tennis guys are amazing. I used to think I was good.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. It's like, I can beat at least 8 kids in the dorm, but none of these guys in the Olympics.
Yeah. That's amazing stuff.
Disgruntled vet, very quickly. I had a story in the last half hour about the wrestler in the Olympics. It wasn't a wrestler. What did he do? I forget what he did, what his event was. Weightlifter, I guess.
Weightlifter.
And he did not bring, well, they told a bunch of the guys, don't bring your wedding rings because if you leave them in your room, somebody might steal them.
Because mm-hmm.
apparently Rio has a problem with that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
as we've come to know.
Right.
And he said that his wife buys him these 5 packs of rings that are $10 a piece.
Yeah.
And we found them online for $20 a piece. But anyway, she buys him fairly cheap rings, figuring that if he leaves them in some training room or something, which apparently he's done lots of times, it doesn't matter. She'll just give him another ring. And disgruntled vet wrote in to say, after a friend lost his finger by getting his ring caught, I had mine tattooed on. If she leaves me, I'll just tattoo the other 3. I like that.
Well, I played racquetball competitively for years, and I built up this big callus under my ring, and I had to stop wearing it because it was very uncomfortable. So that was my first.
Well, and
forage into marriage.
I went to a wedding about 20 years ago where a guy worked for, do you remember Santa Clara Plastics that later became SCP Global Industries? And I'm not sure what happened to him after that. But
Lon Dunn's kid used to work there.
Yeah, but he was, this guy that I knew was a machinist, and he was not allowed to wear any jewelry on his hands. And so at the wedding, he gave her a ring, and she gave him a diamond stud for his ear because those were allowed.
Yeah, you seldom get your ear ripped off in machinery.
One would hope.
Just a second, I got to listen to this. Ah! No.
Usually I could tell what's wrong, but not anymore.
Just vibrate. Let me put my ear down there. Interesting stuff. Anyway, so now 2 pools are green, and they finally figured it out this morning.
Yeah.
And we both said what it was.
It's like a pH.
Like pH imbalance.
Imbalance or whatever. It's a chemical imbalance.
Chemical imbalance.
But that's what we said. I mean, if you've ever owned a hot tub.
You had a swimming pool.
Yeah, well, I had a swimming pool. You had a hot tub. And when they turned green, it meant we weren't doing the chemicals correctly.
Exactly.
And they said that they hadn't apparently, they're not putting in enough chemicals because they said a lot of people have been using the pool. And
the Olympics.
How many people did you assume would be using the pool? Because I'm guessing it's the exact number that you knew ahead of time.
Yeah. Anyway, it's unbelievable. Congratulations again to Kristen Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
And, boy, she's got a lot of positive press today. All that's been on Channel 7 today is Kristen Armstrong and the front section of the newspaper as well.
Where were we a few years ago? I think it's back when we used to deliver pastries
and
donuts to stuff to people.
Yeah.
And we were somewhere and she passed us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were in a car and of course I was driving, so that's not that difficult, but she did pass us.
Yeah. It's interesting the effect that Kristen Armstrong has on young girls.
Uh-huh.
After she won her first gold medal, which was, 8 years ago?
Yeah,
8 years ago, Natalie and I were downtown, so Natalie would have been 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, look, there's Kristen Armstrong. And Natalie goes, do you know her? I said, yeah, I know her. And she goes, could you introduce me? And I went, wow.
Yeah, she wanted. She really wanted
never asked me to introduce her to anybody before.
Well, yeah, and she's been hanging around, you know, athletic types for years because you would, would bring her to the games and things.
Yeah, so introduced her to Chris Narum, and she was fired up.
Yeah, that's terrific.
She was really fired up. So, good person, good figurehead for the city of Boise, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, she's coming home. I guess she's going to race in Bogus Basin. They're having a dirt race to Bogus Basin. Didn't Caves do that? Jeff Caves?
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, me neither. What kind of tires you got on that there bike?
That could have happened, I guess.
No, he rides up there. He's getting in shape.
Oh, and
what shape? I'm not sure.
From yesterday, Patrick of Caldwell wanted to apologize to Hank. He says, I mistook Jim for you, but I kept saying that.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he kept was correcting Hank on something, and it was actually
it
Jim.
Was Jim, yeah. I said it. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's persistent accusation that Hillary Clinton would abolish the Second Amendment, which he has never said.
Well, and he also said that ISIS was created. Well, he was created by Obama,
and Hillary was like this co-creator.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a word. KBOI News Time 8:45. Speaking on business. Listen each Tuesday and Thursday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. on KBOI. Sponsored by Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Here's a check with Rick Daniels.
Ada County Commissioners discussing an airstrip proposal to be built up on Table Rock. Tell you more about those discussions and the outcome coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back, Paul Jay and Chris, on a Thursday morning. Let's go to Logan in Twin Falls. Logan, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I know you guys, you know, she's doing great this year in the Olympics. You guys talk about Kristen Armstrong a lot. Are you guys aware that there's another gold medal winning Olympic cyclist that lives in Boise?
Who is it?
Her name is Barbara Buchan. She actually grew up
Barbara
in the mountain
Buchan.
Home area. She was a runner, changed over to cycling, got an accident during training, and went through 7 surgeries on her head and in her brain, and came back, and she won 2 golds in Beijing and a silver, I believe, in Athens.
I don't know if that's correct or not. I don't think she did. I don't think she won 2 golds.
You can look it up on the website. I used to know her. I worked.
Yeah, I knew her too. She ran track for Boise State, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen her gold medals. I've held them because I was at her
maybe
house,
she won world championships. I don't think she's won Olympic gold medals.
We'll check it out though.
Because I've researched it, and there's only a couple of Idahoans who have won
Olympic gold,
and there's only I think 3 that have won 2 gold medals, 2 medals I should say, and nobody has won. And I'll check it out, how do you spell her last name?
Buchan.
Buchan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we appreciate you bringing this to our attention. We'll check it out.
I do remember her though.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Uh-huh.
Logan
Bye.
And Twin Falls. I don't think that's correct. I think she might have won national championship.
Let me check this out here.
Barbara Buchan.
I see. Okay. It's the Summer Paralympics.
Yeah, okay. And Paralympics.
It wasn't Athens. It was Beijing where she won 2 gold. Yeah, she did win 2 gold medals at the Paralympics.
Paralympics, not the same thing as the Olympics.
But usually right after the Olympics in the same city.
2008 Summer Paralympics in Beijing, China. She was a track and field competitor from Mountain Home, considered a top U.S. cyclist until a road race accident in 1982 broke her skull, placing her in a coma for 2 months. So she won the two medals in the Paralympics, Logan, yep. not the Olympics, and won a silver also.
And she was from Mountain Home, graduated from Mountain Home High School in 74, and she went to Boise State right after that and graduated in 78 with a degree in athletic training and teaching. But yeah, Paralympics. Now, yes, she did do that. She was in the Paralympics in Athens, also in Sydney and Seoul and Beijing as well. So
yeah,
she did quite well in those.
Yeah, she was in Athens in 2004 when women's cycling was first included in Paralympics. So sorry for the misunderstanding, but not actually Olympic gold medals, rather Paralympic gold medals.
Still pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Different, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same thing. All right. I wonder how she's doing. Was raised in Mountain Home in 74, graduated from Mountain Home High, 78, earned a bachelor's degree at Boise State. So I remember she was around. So she got her gold medal when she was 52 after 26 years of racing bikes.
Isn't that terrific?
When she was 5th. So maybe Kristen Armstrong's got a shot.
There you go.
But the competition at the Paralympics, although tough, not on the same level as it is in the Olympics.
But again, still impressive.
Very impressive. Barbara Buchan. Thanks for the call, Logan. It's good to remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Been a long time. That was shortly after I got to Boise.
We are going to come back and talk a little bit about Donald Trump, a little bit about Hillary Clinton, a little bit about Barack Obama, and how their paths are crossing this week.
It's 8:56. Interesting, Graham Dillette in the Olympics this morning fired an opening round 66, 5 under par.
Oh, fantastic.
Playing golf for Canada. Way to go, Graham. He's been struggling of late, but...
former Boise State golfer.
Yeah, sounds pretty good so far.
Hillary Clinton is set to go after Donald Trump's economic agenda, aiming to portray her rival's approach as offering handouts for the rich that could imperil the economy, which is kind of what just about every Democrat has said about every Republican for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
The goal of her speech today...
Yeah, this is supposed to be a...
She will...
Lay it all out.
Speech. Yeah, she'll speak this afternoon at a manufacturing company in Warren, Michigan. The goal was to play up her focus on job development, public works projects, and tax policy while trying to undercut Trump's approach. Clinton was not expected to come out with any major new policies during her remarks. So same stuff, different day.
Where is she speaking?
In Warren, Michigan.
At?
It says at a manufacturing company. So I'm guessing, you know, a factory of some sort.
Trump is speaking as we speak at the National Association of Home Builders in Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there getting to working people today.
But he spoke on the economy on Monday, also in Michigan.
Yep.
And those remarks were quickly eclipsed by stuff he said right after that and statements he spent much of the week letting people clarify for him.
Yeah, the Second Amendment.
Hillary Clinton is trying to take advantage of the turmoil in the Trump campaign as she sees it, pitching herself to independents and moderate Republicans and building, I guess she's given up on Democrats, and building on her momentum after the party conventions, if any. Clinton intended to try to make the case that Trump's agenda would benefit him and his wealthy friends and to characterize his, as if she doesn't have any, and to and to characterize his plans as an update of trickle-down economics, according to her campaign.
Here's the thing that gets me, Chris. She's ripping him because of his rich friends. As you just said, she has tons of rich friends herself.
Well, and let's talk about...
And they're both trying to beat every man you and me.
Very famously, we know that when he married Melania, she was at his wedding.
Yeah.
Also, look for Clinton to argue that Trump's drive to cut taxes on certain business income would benefit many of his companies. And this is the funny thing. The other day, we were looking at statistics. He has had 7 companies go bankrupt.
Right.
He owns 515 companies.
Yep.
So 500.
Something that's seldom mentioned.
508 have thus far been successful, and 7 have gone bankrupt. Clinton is also planning to really, if that were a batting average, you'd be in the Hall of Fame. Clinton is also planning to release her 2015 tax returns in the coming days as she seeks to keep the pressure on Trump, who has not provided his. Trump has said he won't release them until an IRS audit is complete. A source close to Hillary Clinton said she would soon release the returns, supplementing the decades of returns that she and her husband have already made public. Her running
mate. It is kind of funny, though, that, how many times they've mentioned his returns have not been made public, and I didn't realize hers haven't either.
Her running mate. Now. Yeah, well, this year's anyway. Yeah. Her running mate, Senator Tim Kaine, and his wife will also release the last 10 years of their returns. The source spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss the plans in advance. Trump outlined a revamped economic package in his speech Monday. Hillary attempted to draw contrasts when she spoke at a rally yesterday in Des Moines. She said that according to independent analysis, under my plans, we'll create about 10.4 million new jobs. Under Donald Trump's so-called plans, we will lose about 3.5 million jobs. Now, again, that's independent analysis that she paid for. Clinton has proposed a large public works project pledged to roll back tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas and said she would not raise taxes on the middle class. She has promised more money for education, a higher federal minimum wage, and increased support for small businesses. We're going to stand up for small business and help create more of them to create more good jobs here and across America, she said in Iowa.
Can't you have good jobs at large businesses? Of course you can.
You can unless they're, you know, raided by someone.
Okay.
Trump wants to cut taxes for businesses and workers and go with a three-bracket income tax system that's close to what House Republicans have recommended. With few exceptions, Trump has provided more of a philosophical basis for an economic plan than specifics, although he did call for greater child care deductions for families. At a rally Wednesday in Abingdon, Virginia, Trump was dismissive of Clinton's upcoming speech and criticized her economic record. As a senator for New York, he said her remarks would be very limited. Both candidates chose tightly contested Michigan, specifically the Detroit area, to make their updated economic pitches. The former manufacturing powerhouse has been hard hit by the decline of the automobile industry and the real estate market and the fact that a whole lot of companies are assembling their stuff elsewhere. Trump has struggled to keep the focus on his economic proposal week after about a week after fresh controversy with his comments about the Second Amendment. At a rally Tuesday, he said his Democratic rival wanted to revoke the right to gun ownership. She says she doesn't. He then said there was no way people he then said there was no way people would be able to stop a President Clinton from stacking the Supreme Court with anti-gun justices, before adding, although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. And, you know, I told you my line was that in his defense, he was only saying that some of the people who like guns would probably murder Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, he, I don't know, he was making a joke, but his jokes aren't always
funny,
you know, the kind that you could tell to kindergartens or in kindergartens. Democrats said such comments were further evidence that Trump was undisciplined and unprepared for the presidency. Trump insisted he was never advocating violence against Clinton. Clinton said it was one more example of words that could have tremendous consequences. Clinton said the remark was a casual inciting of violence that shows Trump lacks the temperament to be commander-in-chief. Later Wednesday, Trump stirred up another fuss by calling President Obama the founder of the Islamic State militant group, ISIS, and Clinton its co-founder. Clinton's campaign stepped up efforts to win over Republicans and independents, launching a group that aims to use a wave of nearly 50 recent endorsements of Clinton by high-profile Republicans and independents to persuade voters to cross party lines. You know what's funny is I think people are kind of missing the point that Donald Trump was voted to be the Republican candidate over much, much higher-ranking Republicans whom it became fairly clear that people didn't like or trust.
Yeah.
And now a lot of those higher ranking Republicans are endorsing Hillary Clinton, which means, hey, we were right not to trust these guys. Right. I mean, that to me, it's almost everything anybody does in this campaign seems to backfire, at least in a part way.
Is this the worst campaign ever? Maybe the campaign's probably all right, but
probably not.
Seems like the options are bad. Probably not, but name a worse one.
Well,
I guess you could name it
right off
you want.
Right off the top of my head. I mean, a lot of them have been fairly dirty.
Well,
obviously,
yeah,
obviously 1972 when the Watergate crisis happened.
Exactly.
Or scandal, excuse me, not crisis, scandal.
Yeah,
when the Watergate scandal happened, that was because of what people were doing around the 1972 election.
That's true. Yeah, just one side. KBOI News Time, 9:15. Hillary, what's her Second Amendment stand? We'll look at it when we come back. KBOI News Time, 9:20. KBOI Rewards Code, SECOND, S-E-C-O-N-D, as in Second Amendment. Go to 670KBOI.com.
Or I wonder which one of the candidates will finish second in November.
Enter second, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. All right. Donald Trump's persistent accusation that Hillary Clinton would abolish the Second Amendment as president is renewing scrutiny of her position on gun rights. Kind of interesting. In the 2016 campaign, Clinton has fought for a raft of gun reforms, but she hasn't always been as strident an advocate for gun control. Back in the 90s, she was a fierce supporter.
When the wind was blowing a different direction.
Yeah, she was a fierce supporter for the landmark Brady Bill restrictions. But in the 2000s, she didn't push the issue and even slammed then-Senator Barack Obama's criticism of people who cling to guns or religion. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
In the 2008 presidential primary. And now, after a rash of mass shootings, she's the Democratic standard bearer on renewed gun control pushes. Here's a look at where Clinton has stood on gun control. Testifying in a Senate committee in 1993 amid her health care reform, Clinton told Senator Bill Bradley, Democrat from New Jersey, she was all for his proposed 25% tax on handguns and $2,500 licensing fee for gun dealers.
Okay, that would make it a lot more difficult for a lot of people to purchase a gun, but...
Or sell them.
Still, you know, it wouldn't take them away completely, so...
Yeah. Hmm. She said, I don't know what else we're going to do to try and figure out how to get a handle on this violence. She kept up her advocacy through the decade, recording robocalls, opposing a Missouri concealed carry ballot initiative, and pushing for a failed proposal in Congress to require background checks for gun show sales, a measure Democrats still push today.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make sense for us at this point in our history, back in the 90s, to turn our backs on the reality there are too many guns and too many children have access to those guns, and we have to act to prevent that, Clinton said in a 1990 speech to the NEA.
You know, and
that was after Columbine.
And in the 90s when she was saying we have to get a handle on this violence.
Yeah.
And then she said by getting rid of guns. Or you could, rather than going after the tools, you could maybe take a look at why violence is occurring and work on some of those issues.
Yeah. Once she entered,
just a thought.
Yeah. Once she entered the Senate in 2001, Clinton backed a series of gun control measures. She backed Democratic bills to require registration of all new guns, requiring photo IDs and safety lessons for new gun owners, and increasing the minimum buying age for handguns 18 to 21. Those are wanting to require a lot of things, but not what I would call abolishing the Second Amendment. Once Clinton launched her 2008
You might call it tweaking it to death.
Yeah, I think you should have to show IDs when you buy guns.
I like the idea of having a safety class, but... I think most responsible gun owners will take a safety class anyway.
Well,
until recently, to have a concealed carry permit, you had to take one.
Yeah. Once Hillary launched her 2008 Democratic presidential campaign, she backed away from those stances, including her previous support for national licensing and registration of handguns. She's not for that. But my work in New York City is not going to work in Montana. So for the federal government to be having any kind of blanket rules that they're going to try and impose, I don't think it makes sense, she said in 2008. She declined to support Washington, D.C.'s ban on handguns. What I support is sensible regulation consistent with a constitutional right to own and bear arms. I think a total ban with no exceptions under any circumstances might be found by the court to not be constitutional.
She didn't say she didn't like it, but she said it would be unconstitutional.
The best evidence of Clinton's shift in tone, though, came later in April of 2008 in Indiana, after Obama had been recording saying people in rural areas cling to guns or religion. In Valparaiso, Indiana, Clinton discussed her own experience with guns.
Does he expect them to cling to Congress for comfort or what?
Who, Obama?
Yeah. He says they're clinging to guns and religion as opposed to...
family and food.
Philosophy? I don't know. You know, what do you want? Oh, family and food? I'm sure they do that, too.
Well, say that, then.
Okay.
Do you cling to guns and religion?
Sometimes.
You don't have a gun. You would know which end to point. 926. All right, talking a little bit about Hillary Clinton's change in stand. Everybody changes a little bit, but she seems to have evolved quite a bit. Let's go to the phones now, and Jason and Star. Jason, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I think most of us realize politicians say whatever politically expedient.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Target audience, right? The target audience.
Yep.
Or the region. If she's going to be the president, and right now, as of today, it looks that way, it'll be catastrophic for gun owners. She'll get her nominee picks into the Supreme Court. It'll be extremely left-leaning, and they'll rule all kinds of stuff. And I know it's been in the last 4 years, I personally watched one of her interviews where she questioned the Second Amendment interpretation on the individual right to bear arms. She questioned it. I think she's been evolving this whole time.
See, everybody had that fear about Obama, too, and he never once has, gone
right.
after the Second Amendment.
And the only thing that's held him back is the fact that in 2010 and 14 and whatnot, that that the Congress went so far to the right. If it wasn't for Congress being obstinate, he would probably have passed whatever he wanted. But he can't do it with Congress in there the way it is presently.
But don't you think Hillary's going to face the same kind of thing? Don't you think the Republicans will stay in control?
If the Republicans stay in control, it would balance it out.
Yeah.
If they lose the House, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. The gun grabbers, they think they're doing common sense or sensible gun laws, and that sounds nice, but it's relative. If you don't like guns and don't like ammo, it may be common sense to just mandate you only get a box of ammo in your house, and any more than that's considered hoarding.
Okay.
So... you know, it's relative. I think a guy should own all the ammo he wants, and who cares? But somebody who doesn't like guns may think I'm unreasonable and they want to regulate me. It all depends.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, people are always talking about the two phrases. Well, one, the people who are obviously in favor of, having guns and fewer regulations, they point to the part of the Second Amendment that says that your right to own and bear arms will not be infringed. However, the people who do want to regulate it further, they always point to the part that says a well-regulated militia. And a lot of them try to argue that the National Guard is our militia. And I don't think so, because I think what the Founding Fathers intended was that if the government, who, by the way, is basically in control of the National Guard, if the government decides to do something that the people don't like, that's when the people become their own militia.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Constitution was to let people know what their rights are and what their government couldn't do to them.
Right. Yeah, we're the freest nation on earth for a reason, because of our Constitution and right to bear arms. And the entirety of history shows people who are unarmed are just slaves in waiting, but citizens who are armed are free people. And the founding fathers, in their wisdom, knew that they just fought a civil war, and they knew their own history just like we do. They knew you have to be able to defend yourself first and foremost from an oppressive government.
All right. Good stuff, Jason. Thank you. It's Jason and Star.
Yeah, because, you know, the government is going to be well-armed and well-regulated, no matter what kind of government you've got.
Yeah. All right. Quickly, let's go to 2016. Again, a candidate for president, Clinton has made her advocacy for new restrictions a focal point of her 2016 campaign. She has called for a ban on the sale of assault weapons, as well as the closure of the Charleston loophole, which is a reference to a law that allowed the Charleston church shooter to obtain his firearms. Closing that loophole would mean extending the window for FBI background checks to take place on gun purchases. In a major primary campaign wedge issue against Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Clinton called for reversal of a law that protects gun manufacturers from liability in lawsuits over shootings. I don't know. See, that's like suing whiskey makers for getting drunk.
We've said that before, that to me it never made that much sense.
Yeah.
If you misuse an item, to sue the people that made the item because you misused it.
How do you feel about bartenders if you get drunk? You can't tell sometimes if somebody is drunk.
I've never seen a bartender talk someone into another drink when they didn't want one.
Exactly. So why should they be liable? I don't get that either. Clinton has also proposed taking executive action to end the loopholes that allow gun show sales and internet sales to escape background checks. As Trump has increasingly focused on the potential that Clinton would appoint justices to the Supreme Court who would strip away gun rights, Clinton has insisted.
But how do you do that? In the Supreme Court, what you are supposed to do is decide.
Uphold the law.
You are supposed to decide the little details about what is and what is not constitutional. Well,
right.
In the Constitution, it says we can keep and bear arms.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that the Supreme Court, you know, can't. Well, they can't just rule the Second Amendment unconstitutional.
No, they can't do it. Clinton has insisted while she believes in a constitutionally protected right to own a gun, she supports reasonable restrictions on those rights. And reasonable, of course, with criminal histories,
and that's her
people
way,
with mental illness, etc.
That's essentially what people are trying to do is create a world that we have here where there are fewer murders.
Yeah, you got to change attitudes there.
Yeah, you have to change a lot of attitudes. You have to change a lot of the ways that people do things. But again, I mean, people have statistics about how, you know, certain countries, they take away their guns and there aren't any more gun murders and fewer murders altogether. And I do see the statistics and I see that that happens. But again, I'd rather work on getting rid of the reasons for murders. Now, murder itself is already against the law.
Yeah.
So it's not like we have to get rid of guns because it's okay to murder people, and we got to get rid of all the tools that you would use to murder someone.
Clinton said, "I think what the court said about being an individual right is in line with constitutional thinking." She said that 2 weeks ago on Fox News Sunday, affirming individual gun rights. "I'm not looking to repeal the Second Amendment. I'm not looking to take people's guns away," she said. "But I am looking for more support of reasonable efforts that need to be undertaken to keep guns out of the wrong hands."
Well, so she is looking to take some people's guns away.
People with the wrong hands.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich, good morning. Go ahead.
The NRA, I mean, they're sponsored by the gun manufacturers. That's where they get their money.
True.
They did this when Bill Clinton was elected. They got all the gun people all scared, so they went out and hoarded ammunition and guns. They did the same thing with Obama, and that's what it is. I mean, they're just also terrified that somebody's going to come around and take their guns. And, you know, the statistics for countries that don't allow wholesale sale of guns isn't just a little bit less. It's like 100 times less murders, you know. So there's got to be some reason. But this is just a scare tactic, and they do it every year, and they And they'll, you know, you won't be able to buy ammunition, and the gun sales go up, and it's just, you know, the NRA trying to scare people.
No, I think they're trying to sell guns, and I think it's worth. I think they're trying to sell guns, and it works.
Oh, they are. They are, because the NRA is sponsored by gun and ammo manufacturers, and it works. Yeah, they do. They sell guns. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, gun sales are going to go way up. You're not going to be able to buy ammunition. It might be kind of hard to find a gun, but they're just, I think it's just an unreasonable fear, because I just don't think it, I don't think where our system is, I don't think you could abolish the Second Amendment, and I don't think you could severely restrict it. I just don't think it could happen. But
yeah. All right. Got to hit a break. Thanks, Rich.
Quickly here. You remember, believe it or not, I'm going to quote Karate Kid 2.
Okay, I've seen them. I've seen the movie. I get them confused sometimes.
In Karate Kid 2, I like the, they had a rule about karate in Karate Kid 2, the family rule. And I think maybe it would be a great rule for handguns as well, which is number one rule was remember that karate is for defense only.
Right.
And number two was always remember number one.
Mr. Miyagi followed that religiously.
Exactly.
But then he'd get mad and beat somebody up. KBOI News Time.
But in defense.
In defense. In defense. Wax on, wax off. 9:46. Well, talking about the election, talking about Second Amendment stand by Hillary Clinton, how it's evolved over the past 3 decades. Let's go to Jim in Boise. Jim, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Good.
Y'all give an unsolicited commercial or advertisement for religion, not necessarily organized religion.
Okay.
But Chris mentioned, murder has kind of been against the law. Well, actually, it's kind of been against the law kind of since probably right after Cain killed Abel, you know, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Now, I think I've got a pretty good commercial for Trump.
Okay.
Trump could say, don't vote for Cain, vote for one who's able, me. Well, take care, y'all.
Thanks. Wow. Wonder what Jim had on his cereal this morning.
Wayne of Boise wants to remind Rich that 73% of NRA's money comes from membership.
Yep.
And under Bill Clinton, assault weapons were in fact banned.
Yeah, see, and I'm kind of one that's on the fence about assault weapons. But I just don't get them. But that's okay. I don't care if you own one.
Bob,
don't feel I need one.
Bob says they can have our guns. They will just get the ammo first. Ha, ha, ha.
Do you know how much ammo is out there?
Well, you know what he means by that.
Yeah, I do.
Here, let me give you the ammo one at a time.
I know somebody with 20,000 rounds in their basement.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he says we need to practice saying President Donald J. Trump. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Bob of Boise says, didn't everybody say Obama could not get Obamacare passed by himself? Don't we have Obamacare?
Yes, we do.
I have to admit, though, he had help. Let's see. Dave of Boise says the safety class should be taught by your parents. They should be teaching you, the child, how to handle firearms from a very early age. And a lot of people do.
Well, but my folks didn't have guns.
Yeah. There is never any emphasis on the human equation when guns are brought up. None of Hillary's ideas are going to slow down murder by guns. They are only making it harder for we, the people, to legally protect ourselves. What is the motive here?
Well, I don't know if they're making it harder. They haven't done anything.
It's kind of a just wanting to. And the disgruntled vet says the left calls for common sense gun laws but doesn't enforce laws on the books. Try enforcing old laws before passing new ones.
Yeah. Let's go to Jim and Eagle. Jim.
Yes, I'd like to remind Rich that it was Hillary Clinton that brought up the idea of Australian-style gun confiscation, in her own words. And also to keep in mind that whenever a liberal politician brings up the idea of reasonable gun control, it's in the interpretation of them who are anti-gun to start with. So what is an assault weapon? Any weapon can be used
to assault somebody.
Weapon.
That's true.
So you could legally define that as any weapon, any weapon. So the problem is that it's in the interpretation. And when you hear a politician say, as Hillary has, that she would work with or without the Congress and that she would extend Obama's use of presidential declarations, it makes us a little bit nervous. And I think it's
all presidents have done that, though.
When someone says, oh, the NRA is just reacting because they want to sell guns. When a politician comes out and threatens the rights and the possession and threatens our property, if we react to that, we are the bad guy. And I don't think that's quite fair.
No, it doesn't seem fair at all, does it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Jim.
And let's see, Wayne, I'll do this very quickly. Wayne from Cheney said, at the heart of the issue, with some judges willing to interpret the Constitution in the light of today, not with original intent, the Constitution has no meaning. It's whatever the judge, eventually of the Supreme Court, wants the Constitution to mean. The authors gave us means to change the Constitution to meet today's needs. Let's use those tools and have the stability of the Constitution to fall back on.
All right. KBOI News Time, 9:55. That'll wrap it up. If you have a further comment, give us a call tomorrow on Open Phones Friday. We'll talk with you then.
Now, something to... with Mike Rogers.
Miscalculations can lead to war. In the South China Sea, China has been militarizing fake new islands they created out of thin air. Their stated intentions don't match their actions. In turn, other countries in the region have been responding. Vietnam just moved rocket launchers to their nearby islands and formally protested China's actions. Japan changed its constitution to allow for a more robust military. The Philippines welcomed back the United States military as a check on China. And we have sent U.S. Navy destroyers on freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea. Now U.S. B-2 stealth bombers are headed to the Pacific. Why does all this matter? The South China Sea is one of the busiest shipping lanes in the entire world. And when it comes to protecting core economic interests, history tells us nations will go to war over that. With things heating up, it's no time for ambiguity or miscalculation. China needs to come clean over its intentions before things spiral out of control. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.